Chapter 50. We headed directly to Winslade's office. I don't mind saying I was a little freaked out. What was Claver's plan? I decided to play it cool, trying to convince the guards Winslade wasn't going to wash. They'd seen me punch him, and they were all business at this point. What didn't help was that I was from Legion Varus, a known band of ruffians, while Winslade was from Hegemony. Hogs and independent Legion people rarely saw eye to eye. From the point of view of the police, it was extremely believable that a non-com from a disreputable outfit would take a poke at a hog officer. It happened frequently enough. "Could you open my door?" Winslade asked one of the guards. "I seem to have dropped my fob during this buffoon's clumsy assault." "Certainly, Primus," the man said, touching his hand to the lock plate. The door shot open, and a very shocked-looking figure that looked like Claver stood there, staring at us. Only it wasn't Claver. It had to be the hapless Sloane. I could see the surprise in Sloane's eyes. Maybe he'd been lying in wait for Winslade, but he hadn't planned on him coming with the cavalry and me, too. Sloane looked at me, and I could see understanding flood into him.
"They caught you, huh, McGill?" he asked. "Well, I'd still say it was worth it."
He raised his bar of soap and aimed it at Claver. I guess he thought it was Winslade. I could hardly blame him for that. Claver knew he was in trouble and dove behind one of the confused guards. The guards were slow to react. As far as they could tell, a lunatic was aiming something resembling a bar of soap at them. An invisible beam struck the guard that was shielding Claver. The man's eyes widened and he fell to his knees, then flat on his face. I never even saw an injury, so I wasn't sure how he died. The weapon was clearly one of those alien-made specials that killed in devious ways. Maybe his neurons had stopped firing, or maybe his blood had congealed all at once. There was no way to tell without an autopsy. The second guard caught on when his buddy went down. He drew his pistol, sidestepped so he was partly obscured by the doorway, and fired three sizzling bolts into the room. I heard an alarm go off somewhere. The weapon's discharge had tripped it. Sloane caught two of the three bolts. The last one splashed the slanting glass behind him, causing it to smoke and create a melted divot. As testimony to the strength of Central's construction, it didn't cut all the way through.
"Got him," the guard said proudly.
"Well done," Claver said, still acting the part of Winslade. He quickly stepped past the guard and into his office. When he got behind the desk, Claver did a double take. Frowning, he stepped back to Sloane, who was being looked over by the man who'd shot him.
"This man is... Sir, there's some kind of field around him, a projection of some kind. I'm..."
While the guard had been speaking, Claver had stooped and picked up the soap bar. He pressed it to the guard's neck and activated it. The guard pitched forward.
"What the hell?" I demanded, stepping forward. "What did you do that for?"
"Bah, don't be a baby, McGill. He'll pop out of the oven downstairs in an hour. Would you rather be interrogated?"
"No," I admitted.
Claver grinned with Winslade's lips. It was a strange sight to see. To me, it was like Winslade was standing there imitating Claver's mannerisms.
"What are you so happy about?" I asked.
He lifted up an object. It was the galactic key.
"Where the heck did that come from?"
"Take a look behind the good Primus's desk."
I stepped around the desk and saw the real Winslade lying there. Claver began to work quickly while I gaped. First, he stepped to Winslade's computer terminal and accessed the data core for the whole facility. He used the key to bypass every login and biometric identification system. He quickly began shutting things off. Alarms began to go off on every floor, then fall silent again as each was shut down in turn. The cameras died, then fail-safe systems activated to back them up. The fail-safes quickly faltered as well. It was amazing, really. I'd never really thought about what the Galactic Key could do to a place like Central, which was full of the best equipment that credits could buy. In other words, alien-made gizmos. In this case, it was the all-important data core that was purchased off-world, and therefore had to have breakable security to be legal on the frontier.
Two more confused guards arrived with their weapons drawn before Claver could finish his dirty work. They were breathing hard. They looked at the body-choked office in horror.
Primus, are you all right?
Yes, fortunately, Claver said. But the attackers have escaped. Would you be so kind as to pursue them?
Which way, sir?
You don't know.
The whole building is off-grid. I'm sorry, Primus. We can't even raise dispatch.
Unacceptable. I'll be making a report later. Go to 4th level, B section. I believe that's where they were headed.
4th and B? Isn't that the kitchen, sir?
Veteran, are you questioning my information or my intelligence?
Neither, sir. Glad you're all right.
Claver made a dismissive wave. When the guards were gone, I whistled long and low.
Wow. I'm impressed, I said. You sound and act just like Winslade. If this trading game doesn't work out for you, there's always the theater.
He looked up from the terminal, distracted.
We're not done yet, he said.
No? He knelt and went to work on Winslade's tapper next. I walked around the desk and watched, frowning. I saw he had the galactic key in his hand.
What are you doing to the Primus exactly? I demanded. I'm perming him, of course. What else? Did you expect me to give him mouth-to-mouth?
I grabbed him and pulled him away from Winslade. There's no need for that. He's dead already. Leave well enough alone.
He's going to explain what happened here to the authorities. We've erased the vid data and damaged the core, but that's not enough to keep any of these men from testifying against us later.
My eyes crawled over the bodies on the floor. Two guards, Sloan and Winslade. Killing them was one thing, but perming them? That was too much.
You want to get arrested, is that it, boy?
Claver said in a snake-like voice.
We're on a purge, in case you hadn't noticed. A clean-up mission for our team.
Our team? Who's our team? You?
No, my muscle-brained friend. Turov is our leader, naturally. She's going to be elevated to Equestrian after all the evidence is in against Nagata.
Looking from Winslade to Claver and back again, I didn't know what to think.
Nagata?
I asked.
Like I said, we're not done yet.
What evidence? I asked.
The evidence I'm busy planting with Winslade's computer, he said, laughing. Is there any other kind?
Okay, I said. I know Turov is ambitious. I get that. I know Winslade stole the key and she wants it back. But why are you perming him?
He's got to go. Not because he stole the key, but because he knows of its existence and how to operate it.
Is that all? I asked. I can fix that. Give it to me. Claver stared at me. Let me get this straight, I said. You're 100% sure you can get away with perming a Primus in the middle of Central? That is ballsy, my man. A crime like that is a hard one to cover up. People have memories, you know, that go beyond what's in the data core. They'll never stop investigating this. Give me the key, and I'll fix it right. My big hand was parked in his face, palm up, waiting. After counting to 3, maybe it was 4, he finally handed it over. I went to work on Winslade's tapper. I broke through security effortlessly with the key. Essentially, whenever a screen came up asking for a code or a password or a fingerprint, a touch of the key caused the data to fill itself in correctly. Within seconds, I was deeper into the menus than any normal person could go. There, I found Winslade's memory backups. Going back a few weeks, I found they weren't held locally. They were stored on a server in Central. Again, the passwords and security checks fell one by one. I was soon able to access his core data. There it all was, his mind, his body, stored in computers down to the DNA and synaptic connections. Riffling through his past like anyone handling a folder full of files, I erased them one by one. His mind was being destroyed, but only for the most recent accumulative backups of it. The system worked by storing changes over time rather than full copies of the entire thing. I left his body alone, but I erased a month's worth of his mind. It was a strange feeling, like I was playing God. To make myself feel better, I kept reminding myself that Winslade's only other option was non-existence. Claver watched me closely and talked over my shoulder about the key.
"Are you sure this will work?"
he asked. "Yeah, I told you, I've done it before more than once. Haven't you ever wondered how I get out of things?"
"Maybe you know what you're doing sometimes,"
he admitted reluctantly. It was still strange to me to hear Claver's voice coming out of Winslade.
"Just make sure he doesn't remember the key. We've already got three people who know about the treasure you're wielding in your hand right now, McGill. You, me, and Turov. That's about two over the limit, if you ask me. You can't keep a secret so big with four people. It's not possible. Someone is bound to blab or to attempt to eliminate the others. Winslade took it upon himself to demonstrate this today."
It occurred to me that Claver and I were busy doing exactly what Claver had said Winslade might do at this very moment, but I was too busy to argue about that. "I got your point," I said. "You still haven't explained why we have to take sides, and if we do, why should we take Turov's side?" Claver straightened up and put his hands on his hips.
"You aren't suggesting we strike out on our own, are you?"
"Hell no, I just don't want to align myself with someone I disagree with."
"Ah," he said loudly, "I see the problem now. You're an idiot. I should have seen that one coming a mile off. Boy, let me explain the ways of the universe to you, as some critical realities seem to have slipped by that fine mind of yours."
He was pissing me off, but I just kept working on Winslade's memories. If you could get past enough bullshit and insults, Claver often said something interesting.
"You remember when the Galactic Battle Fleet showed up in Earth orbit?"
he asked.
"Back when they filled the sky with alien ships?"
"I wasn't there personally." "Wait, you're not telling me you're that old, are you?" He chuckled.
"I was young, but I was there. Anyway, at that point, Earth had to make a choice. We could suck it up and play ball with these pushy aliens, or we could die. We made the choice we did because there really wasn't any choice."
"All right," I said. "But what's that got to do with choosing sides now? We don't have to work for Nagata or Turov."
"That's where you're wrong. You see, people in power don't understand men like us, McGill. They think we're just assholes. We're problems, desperately in need of a solution, and the solution is an obvious one."
To make his point, he directed a finger toward the mess on the floor. I looked at Winslade's twisted corpse. I had to admit Claver was right. When you played with fire, you often got burned.
"So," Claver continued, "nosy, irritating individuals like us need to sign on with the powerful in order to keep existing."
I nodded, understanding his point, but not agreeing with it entirely. "What's to keep a ruthless woman like Turov from doing the same thing to you and me later?"
"Nothing,"
he admitted.
"Nothing, that is, if we don't prepare for that eventuality."
"What can we possibly do? She keeps climbing in rank. She keeps becoming more powerful. Hell, she might even be the ruler of the world someday." He gave me a tight look.
"Don't talk like that,"
he said.
"To answer your question practically, there is a way to keep breathing no matter what in these situations."
"Really?" I asked, honestly interested. "Tell me, I'm all ears."
"Knowledge, my boy, that's the key to a long existence. Learn secrets and keep them to yourself, and always have another secret up your sleeve if the last one gets out."
"Secrets? You've got to be kidding. Secrets can get a man killed. Just look at Winslade." He shook his head.
"He didn't keep his secrets. He tried to exploit them. Winslade here, he got big ideas and went up against someone more experienced and dangerous than himself. That's not what I'm suggesting you should do."
"Okay," I said, "but I still don't see how secrets..."
If you'd shut up for a second, I'll tell you, he said angrily.
Then he paused and started to laugh.
There you go again, proving my point for me. An irritating fellow like you simply must plan for the worst. People don't revive a man like James McGill out of compassion. Every time you die, there's a good chance someone will come to their senses and think, hell, he's already dead, let's just leave him well enough alone.
That's great thinking, but...
Hold on, let me finish. You've got to set things up so that they need to bring you back. That's my method. You need an ace in the hole. Now think, what's the one thing a dead, naked man might have that would compel another person to revive him?
I looked at him blankly for a second. He reached up and tapped me on the forehead. I went to grab his finger, but his hand quickly retreated.
All you have at that point is whatever is in your head, McGill. Nothing else. I'm talking about information, secrets those in power want to learn. Secrets are the only things we still possess after death. They go beyond the normal churn of recycling flesh and brain. My continued existence is based entirely on knowing things that other people don't. I keep secrets. That's all that matters.
I squinted at him, thinking hard for a second before I shook my head. No, I said. You're wrong about that. Actions matter, Claver. What a man does in this life and the next, that counts. Our actions define us, and they outlive us as well. To me, it's what I do that matters. He chuckled bemusedly.
Think whatever you want, Mr. Philosopher, but just remember what I told you. If you want to keep on existing.
Standing up, I pocketed the key. Claver was instantly on guard.
What are you doing? He demanded.
Returning a valuable item to our patron saint, Galina Turov. Claver would rather have carried the key, but I didn't let him. The confusion in the building allowed us to hit the elevators and ride them downward. The shaft went at a slant along the outer wall of the pyramid-shaped building. Outside, I could see for miles. It was a sunny day, even out over the Atlantic. I had a hard time thinking as we rode toward the exit in Claver's air car. What I really wanted to do was run. Sure, Claver had rigged the security and we'd erased Winslade's recent memories, but there had to be some kind of clue, something that they could trace. It made me nervous to think we weren't escaping, but digging deeper instead. Worse than all that was the feeling I'd been dragged into a dirty business. Claver was amazingly persuasive. He talked me into joining this adventure, and I was by no means certain I would live to see the sunset.